Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show, a podcast about being bold in faith, work, and life. I'm your host, Jane Kennedy. Let's get down to business. Hello and welcome to the Sunday Monday Show and our very special series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Over the next 9 weeks, I will be sharing 9 episodes with you on individual fruit of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. For each of these fruit, I reached out to a friend who I feel like lives this fruit beautifully in their life, and we had a conversation about it. We talked about the fruit of that Holy Spirit. We talked about the challenges. We talked about living this in a world where it can be so hard to live these virtues. And we also talked about living it in our particular state of life. So some of these friends are married. Some of them have young kids. Some of them are single. Many of them work in some way. And I'm just so excited to share their stories with you because truly, I have been so inspired by these conversations. I think they're some of the best we've ever had on the Sunday Monday Show, and I cannot wait to share them with you. So without any further ado, welcome to our Fruit of the Spirit series, and let's get started. Kendra, welcome to the podcast. I'm so, so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Jane. I'm happy to be here.
You and I have been friends, well, I can't even do the math. 2017, I think, was when...
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So like almost seven years of friendship. You were one of my first friends in San Francisco. And it was actually you who kind of helped get the Bible study that we did in San Francisco off the ground. You were one of the first people I met who was like, wait, we really want to do this. And it turned into such a fruitful community for everyone. And so it's just like such a sweet memory. And it's been so beautiful to, stay friends for all these years.
Yes, it's been a lovely thing. Thanks, Jane.
So as we get started, I would just love if you could just briefly introduce yourself so everyone listening kind of knows where you are, who you are, and what your life looks like.
Sure. So my name is Kendra. I am in my early 30s. I'm living in San Diego with my husband. We've been married for about 3 years and enjoying life in San Diego.
Yes, you absolutely are. Every time I visit San Diego, I'm like, why do I not live here? I don't understand. and I know you all have such a good community there. And so I'm so happy that it's been such a great place for you. And Mike, who I love. And it was really sweet getting to, you met Mike in San Francisco through our church. And so it was very fun watching your story kind of unfold. And I'm excited. It was just beautiful. And it's so, so cool to see your life continue to change with you and Mike. And it's just beautiful. So as we kind of go forward, you are closing up our Fruit of the Spirit series, which is crazy because it feels like we've been doing it forever, but all good things must come to an end. And you are rounding us out with a discussion on gentleness. So, I think that when I was thinking about gentleness and who I wanted to talk to about this, I really thought about you, because I think that what stands out to me so much about you and your personality is that you are gentle, but you're gentle with a strength. If that makes sense. Like there's a strength in your gentleness. And I think that, if I think of Mary, who's gentle, I think of a strength in her gentleness. So anyway, I thought of you and I'm excited for you to share your secrets with us today. So just to start out, how would you define gentleness and how do you see it and choose it in your daily life?
Yeah, it's hard to define. As I was putting some thought behind this, it's like, I think it's so intertwined with kindness and being kind and being like nice to people, but I feel like there's a lot more to it too. I think there's also a lot of empathy that goes into being gentle and kind of understanding another person. I thought a lot about like how you would respond with gentleness and how that's kind of like a way that you interact with people is in a gentle kind of way. And I think that has to do a lot with kind of being empathetic, being curious about another person and then being able to respond in a gentle way, maybe instead of a harsh way.
I love that. I think that you're totally right when it's talking about empathy. And I think it also, something that stands out for me when I think about gentleness is like humility, right? Like there has to be a level of humility in order to approach a situation with gentleness, because I think, at least for me, if I'm in a situation where I feel like my pride or my, you know, ego is getting attacked, like it's hard for me to be gentle in that, and particularly yes. empathetic. So I, you know, so many of these feel like they connect to each other. And I think that, yeah, like what you're saying, I think gentleness does have sparks of so many other virtues in it, which is why I think it's like a lot more complex than it might seem on the surface.
Right, right.
So how do you choose gentleness in your daily life? And what does that look like for you?
Good question. I think like when you first asked me to do this, my initial reaction was like, yeah, I think I am gentle, but I don't know if that's even a good thing. You know, I felt like it was like the way I was gentle was because I'm like, well, because I'm people pleasing. And so, yeah, I'm going to be nice to people because I want to make them happy and I want them to feel comfortable and I want to make it easy for everyone else around me, you know, which is, I think, can be a strength, but is not always, you know, can also sometimes not be a positive thing. But kind of the more I reflect on it too, I think it can be such a strength of being of kind of that, if you think about it from like a servant leadership perspective of like, hey, a lot of times gentleness is the way to someone's heart. A lot of times being gentle and being kind and approachable is the way that people is kind of like the way to, you know, just get people to hear you and to know you and to, and then in turn to know Christ, right? So, I already forgot the original question. But
No, but that was perfect.
Okay. But yeah, I think as I was kind of thinking of it in these different ways of like, yeah, you could see it potentially as a disadvantage, I think, or kind of as like being too meek or being kind of like maybe not speaking up for yourself or maybe not, you know, maybe being too lowly or too quiet in the meeting at work or whatever. But I think it can also be, if you think about it in terms of like servant leadership, I think it can also be a big strength to have.
Well, totally, because I think that being treated with gentleness, I love what you said. I haven't made that connection before between like leadership and gentleness, because so often I think people can abuse their role or like their authority in a lot of ways, and we see it all the time. When it's like that actually is a really incredible opportunity for gentleness. And I know that for me, when I, you know, make mistakes or I need extra help on something, like I know who the people are who I want to go to for that advice, for that mentorship, and for that encouragement, because they're the ones who have, you know, reacted kindly to me before and mm-hmm. seem to be the ones who remember that, you know, not very long ago they were in the same position, you know, and they needed the help.
yep.
So I love that you tied it to servant leadership, because it's absolutely connected.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, truly. So, not that this ever happens to you, but if it does, how do you react to moments where you might be struggling to respond with gentleness?
I think this is easy. I mean, I think for me and having a husband and a marriage, the easiest person to not be gentle to is my poor husband. And so, I think this applies to any relationship, like any friendship, work relationship. I think just like stopping for a moment and remembering that you're in it together, you know, whether it's at work or whatever, like you're all working toward a common goal here, and that you want, you know, in general, people want what's best for each other, and I want what's best for my husband and he wants what's best for me. And so sometimes kind of slowing down and saying like, even though I want it a certain way, and you know, it's so easy to jump to that conclusion of what I want the most, but to kind of like take a step back and say, hey, we're in this together. We can work through this as a team instead of a team. And I think that calms you down and puts you in a place that gets you into the more of a gentle, loving mindset.
Totally. As you said that, it made me think about I just went on this really awesome retreat on the cardinal virtues. And so I've been thinking a lot about virtue and vice and the different balance between the two. And it's making me think that maybe one of the, I don't know what the actual opposing vice is for like having a spirit of gentleness, but I do think anger is probably up there. Because in situations where, you know, our feelings are hurt or we feel misunderstood or something isn't going the way we wanted it to, like it is so tempting to respond kind of with a flash of anger when it's like taking the time and having a little bit of patience to create some peace in the situation so that you can respond with gentleness is good. And so I love that.
Right. And anger and even, I don't know if this is the right word, but like explosiveness, like instead of like taking a second, you just like respond quickly with like in a rash kind of response, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it happens to all of us.
Too. Right. Yeah. Cause it, exactly. Like, especially when it's something emotional or when it's something you're like, how could they, I think that's where it comes in a lot of like, how could somebody think this way? Or how could somebody have done that? Or what do you mean? And that's where I think it's the hardest to respond with love and with gentleness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a, I think for me, I can see it all the time. I've talked about it before on the podcast, but I have such a wound around like being misunderstood. And so if someone like misunderstands my intentions or like thinks I did something that I didn't or didn't do something I did, and I don't know, it just makes it so hard to respond with this fruit of gentleness towards people. And I think you touched on something really important, which is that usually the people who have to bear the brunt of our, you know, lack of grace are the people we love the most. And the people who are closest to us in our lives, because we aren't putting up, you know, our mask is off, you know, it's like they're getting us, you know, flaws and strengths and all of it. And that's a really good thing, I think, to think about is like, how am I treating the people in my life who like, I know love me the most and who I know are most present in my life? Like, am I treating them with this gentleness and being patient and kind and assuming the best intentions, you know, I think can often get in the way of being gentle in different situations.
Exactly. And I think as much as we know, like the things that we have wounds around and the things that might cut us deeper than others, you have to assume other people have those things too. And so they might be reacting a certain way that might seem crazy to us in the moment, but I have found so many arguments, even like, especially with my husband, like the reason that this is a big deal isn't because of, you know, the simple, you know, if we're arguing over a watermelon, it's not about the watermelon. It's about, oh, you hurt me in this really deep way, or this wound that I have that, that, you know, maybe you didn't know about, or maybe we're learning about, that sort of thing. And you have to assume that in the other person, just as much as you know it in yourself, you know?
Totally. I love that. Yeah. It's really important to give other people the grace that we know we need to, we kind of want for ourselves. That's really great. So kind of in the same vein of that, do you think there's anyone in your life who exemplifies this virtue really well, or who maybe has influenced your journey to embrace this fruit?
Yeah. I was thinking about my dad and really both of my parents, but, I think that my dad is an engineer, and so he would always kind of ask questions. He would say, you know, you'd say something and he'd go, huh, okay, now why is that? And like, instead of kind of jumping to that conclusion or jumping to that anger, it would always be, huh, okay, why is that? Or what do you think about that? And I think that's such a good example of how we can approach people of, come at it from a place of curiosity, come seek understanding in these conversations rather than jumping to a place where you're not going to be very gentle.
Wow. That's so beautiful. And what a gift to see that like modeled by your parents too, right? Because I'm not a parent, but I can assume that, you know, having children, you know, children have a fantastic way of, you know, kind of pushing buttons. And to be a parent who's able to be like, oh, okay, like, where is this coming from? You know, and to ask those curious questions is so just such a sign of like maturity. And I think spiritual maturity too.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think And exactly, I think I was very lucky to have that modeled for me. And I think that even in you thinking of me for this podcast, it's like that was something that was very much a part of my life growing up. And so I think that that helps kind of create that virtue.
Yeah, what I think stands out to me about you in kind of pulling you in for this virtue or fruit, which I use interchangeably and probably shouldn't, is that you are one of the most, like, you are very strong and you have very strong opinions, but you are never like eager to kind of like steamroll anyone, if that makes sense. Like, you know what you, mm-hmm. you know what's important to you. You are very clear on like who you are and like what you do and do not want to do, or like who you do or do not want to be. And I just remember seeing you in so many situations of you just being able to have such grace in situations while still firmly asserting your opinion. Whereas like I unfortunately kind of have the struggle sometimes of like, if somebody's really pushing for something or something's clearly like really like, I don't know, I can crumble under that, right? And it's like either I lash out in anger or I just kind of get indifferent. And I'm like, okay, whatever you want, I guess. And then, you know, I'm fuming personally because I'm mad that I didn't like get what I wanted. And so I love that. And I don't know if that's your personality. I don't know if there's something you could share to kind of help us, you know, respond to situations that way. But like, I think it's very hard to be gentle if you don't have the underlying strength of like conviction of who you are, if that makes sense. And I think you really have that.
Thank you for saying that. And no, I agree. I think that is a good point of like, I think it's really easy when you talk about gentleness to get into just like being nice or like being a pushover or not getting, you know, like just letting other people rule your life or whatever. And I know like for me, I set firm boundaries. This is totally from my parents, but I think we're really good at setting boundaries and saying like, I'm going to be really nice about how I tell you no, but I'm still going to tell you no, you know, like I can do it in a kind way. I can do it in a way that, you know, whatever will make it easier for both of us, but I'm still going to say no. And I think just kind of knowing your boundaries and setting your boundaries then helps you be, you know, strong within yourself, but also able to be gentle around others.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Because you know that your identity isn't under attack because you trust yourself to like hold yourself to that identity. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I think of Mary, honestly, I've brought her up before, but I think, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, for so much of my life, I was like, we have nothing in common. Like, you are perfect and, you know, gentle and meek and all these words that I really thought meant, you know, pushover, right? Like nice, mm-hmm. pushover, quiet, never really like did anything, but like was somehow like super receptive to the Holy Spirit. And as I have slowly, and it's been such a journey, but slowly gotten to know Mary more, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, she was so strong. Like she was from the very beginning of like when we meet her, right? Like everyone in her village is like basically casting stones at because they think she's, you know, cheated on this man that she was betrothed to. Like there's so much strength she would have had to stay firm in who she was. And like then to trust the Holy Spirit at such a young age. Like I think whenever I'm struggling, right, with gentleness or with meekness or with even strength, I look at Mary and I'm like, okay, you were able to hold all of these virtues and be an incredibly strong woman who I'm sure was very passionate and very, very much knew who she was, right? And who God was calling her to be. But also mm-hmm. was able to do all of that in a spirit of gentleness, which seems so, so difficult. You know?
Yeah. I think that's a prayer I love to pray is like, Mary, give me your heart. And ooh. Like, give me, you know, everything that the love, the gentleness, the like kindness towards others, the, like all these fruits of the spirit, like give me your heart and help me to have that same heart towards others. And, you know, going into difficult situations or when things get tough, I love that prayer.
It's so good. It's so good. And it's so necessary, right? Like I think that, yeah, something that came up on the retreat was like, I don't know, it was in one of Paul's letters, St. Paul's letters. He says something along the lines of like, God will give you a new heart. And I just want to maybe ask for that a bit more, or maybe like ask to be receptive to that a little bit more, because yeah, there are times when I feel like, you know, I could use a new heart. Like, I think that this one's too far gone. Like, I would love all of these virtues and fruits in abundance. And just realizing that every single day we're invited to come back, right? And every single day we're invited to ask for these fruits. And something one of my friends, Jace, said to me, I don't know, a few months ago, was when she was talking about the Eucharist. She was like, every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive an abundance of graces, like an abundance, an infinite amount of graces. And that's every time we receive. And so I like to think now when I go out for communion, I'm like, okay, I'm about to receive an infinite, abundant amount of graces. Like, Jesus, you can do anything in this, you know?
Yes. And think how every time you go up for the Eucharist and it helps you change your heart little by little to where God wants you to be, you know?
Yeah. And it does change us. I think that, you know, we kind of want things to happen very quickly. And, when we don't see immediate change, it can be easy to get discouraged. But I have
all
seen,
the time.
Yeah, I have seen definite growth in my own heart, in the way that I respond to things, differently now than I would have a year ago. Right. Like, or even like 6 or 7 months ago, I respond to things differently. And that's, really cool. And hopefully I will continue to grow. And hopefully the Lord gives me many years, because I need everyone I can get, you know?
Don't we all? No, I always love you used to say, like, be careful what grace you pray for or what fruit you pray for. You like, yeah. I prayed for patience the other day, and then this horrible thing happened. I had to be patient for however many days. Like, it's so beautiful, but it's so true. Like God, you know, God is there giving you what you ask for, but you have to be ready for it too, ready to endure it for a little while.
You truly do. And yeah, it is so funny, because I used to be such a baby. I mean, I'm still a baby in a lot of respects, but I was such a baby when it came to like praying for patience, or for a long time, I wouldn't pray the Litany of Humility, because I was convinced that every time I prayed it, something like awful would happen. Like, and by awful, let it be clear, I'm saying something that would like hurt my pride, you know, like I would lose out on an opportunity or something silly, you know. It was just, or I get embarrassed or whatever. Like, it was nothing big. But in the past year, I've started praying the Litany of Humility more. And the way I see it now is like, part, like some of the lines are like, you know, from the desire to be esteemed, from the desire to be chosen, from the desire to be like consulted, right? Which is now literally my job, LOL. But it's like, from these desires that get in the way of loving Jesus fully, like, deliver me, Jesus. And I used to think that meant from being loved, like, God, I don't want to be loved, or like, I don't want to be chosen, or I don't want to be, you know, whatever, esteemed. And it's like, no, it's like, remove the inordinate desire I have for those things so that I can actually be free, you know, like free to be firm about what my expectations are, like free to be firm about my dreams and like what God is calling me to do. Right. And again, coming back to humility, coming back to gentleness, like, I've seen the fruits of that prayer work beautifully, where like, now if something doesn't work out for me, I don't blame the Litany of Humility. I'm like, oh, this is good, because I can feel this is like kind of hurting me less than it usually would, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's so, like, when you are praying for those virtues or praying for something, or avoiding praying for something, you're thinking like, oh, well, I don't want that. I'm afraid to have that thing. Like, I'm afraid to be too meek, or like to not speak up enough when I need to. Like, that's a, you know, that's something that isn't seen as a good thing, or, you know, isn't what you want. But I think it's having that trust that, hey, like, you're going to, it might not find you the way you think it's going to find you. You might not just turn into, you're not going to turn into somebody who, you know, never stands up for themselves or whatever. That's not how it's going to happen, but you're going to have this softer heart, that God is wanting for you. It's a different transformation than maybe you initially think. God never acts the way we think he's going to act. That's for sure.
Yeah, I can concur that things are typically not as you would expect them to be. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I agree. I think that there is, I think that, it's so easy to get held back by fear. And we get held back by fear of like, Lord, help me to like increase this fruit of gentleness in my life. Does that mean I'm now about to have a whole bunch of situations that like are going to like frustrate me? So I have to like be forced to be gentle. Like maybe,
right.
But I, you know, can also trust that God has given me and will continue to give me the graces to respond well. And I think that's where trust comes in, is like, okay, if God promises that our, like that as we become more and more like him, we become more and more free and more able to give and receive love, then like, why wouldn't we put up with a little bit of pain on the way there? You know?
And sometimes those things that you don't want, you know, okay, now I have to be put in these situations where I need to be gentle, but like, just like anything, you need practice, you know, maybe they're put there perfectly for that reason of like, you need to practice this skill or practice, you know, this fruit. And that's also a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that either.
So. Totally. Practice makes perfect, you know, and there are certain situations where we get a lot of practice and it's not always the most fun, but hopefully it's, you know, getting us closer to being saints, which is obviously the goal.
Absolutely. And I hope that too, I love kind of how we discussed, you know, that even though there can be things that sound like, oh, I don't want to be gentle, or I don't want to be meek, or I don't want to be whatever. I think there's a way that you can really do this in strength, and a way that you can be gentle and powerful and a leader and, you know, somebody who can really get things done. Because when people trust you and when they go to you because you're gentle, that can really be a place of strength.
Well, yes. And what you just said, like, it takes strength to not bite back at someone who is just like hurt your feelings. Like, it takes strength to not respond with a sarcastic comment. Like, it takes strength to bite your tongue when you want to like share some piece of like juicy gossip that, you know, that other people don't. Like, that it's a strength, right? And the problem is that like, it's a strength that only you and God are aware of, right? Like, he knows what's going on in your head and your heart. And like, it's not like a virtue that, you know, it's not like at the end of the week, you're going to say, attention, everyone, here's a list of like things I didn't do this week because I was being gentle. Like, no one's going to really know. Maybe people will experience you differently, and that's, you know, beautiful. But I think it really kind of is partially like a hidden virtue in terms of like, it requires a lot of strength within to be gentle. And it might not be as celebrated, you know, as something else that's more visible.
Mm-hmm. But I also think those are things that, you know, somebody might not notice every single thing you do, but I think they overall are going to like recognize your character, and they're going to say, hey, like, I don't go to the person who gossips when I have something big to say. I'm going to go to you. Or I don't, you know, I'm not going to, I don't want to trust somebody who I feel like is just going to, you know, get angry at me, or I don't feel like I can trust them with something that is difficult to talk about. Or, you know, they might be judgmental, something like that. Like, I'm going to go to the person who's gentle. I think there's a, just like a sense of character around all of those things that we were talking about.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think it radiates out, you know, when someone is living these virtues and living these fruits well. I totally agree. I think it creates, yeah, stronger relationships, and your character really is everything. So to be a person who's known for their gentleness and their strength, right, is beautiful, and humility, all the things that go hand in hand. So Kendra, what is your advice to someone who is longing to embrace gentleness more, who might be like inspired by this and want to be better? What advice might you have?
I think being curious and asking why and kind of trying to understand. I think sometimes when our first reaction is like, what the heck? Like, why would you do that? Or why did you do something this way? I think instead of asking that or getting upset about it, kind of taking a step back and saying, okay, like, tell me more about that decision, you know, or like, help me understand where you're coming from, or why did you respond in this way? Like, I think you can just be curious, ask questions, and kind of get down to the bottom of it versus kind of what we talked about, like, if anger or, you know, lashing out is the opposite of being gentle, like, taking a step away from that and just being curious and understanding about the people around you, I think helps you build empathy and helps you to stay gentle.
Yeah, I love that. What great advice. And it's so practical, you know, because you're giving language to the situation that a lot of us find ourselves in of like, okay, like, what am I supposed to say here? And I love that. Great advice. All right. So as we wrap up this episode, Kendra, I would love to know what is working for you lately.
What is working? I think in terms of spiritual life, I think things have been so busy lately. I think that I've been praying in the car a lot, and I think that that has been fantastic. Like taking those moments where, you know, you're not doing anything else, or if you're taking a walk or whatever, and just like praying in those downtimes, I think have been great for me lately, and kind of helped me go into wherever I'm going in the car, you can get to that place with kind of more peace and more intentionality. So praying in the car is working, Jane.
I love that. Oh, it's honestly though, there's something about, one of the big things I talked about on this retreat a lot was like being in silence. And it is so easy, I think, for me when I go for a walk, or I'm walking to work, or I'm walking to someone's house or whatever, like I want to put my headphones in and just listen to something like a podcast or music or whatever. And actually over the past few weeks, I've been very intentionally just taking the headphones out and walking and just noticing what's going on, letting things come to my mind, into my heart, and then praying about them as I walk. And I totally agree with you that like, there's something about the act of moving, you know, like you are in your car, you're going from point A to point B, like you're going somewhere. But I think it can kind of bring things up in our mind, especially if we like create the silence and like, or buffer it, you know, a little bit. So I love that you're doing that because yeah, I mean, we are busy, but we all have to get places. So, you know, why not use some of that commute time for prayer?
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with everything you said, just like being able to, even just, it's almost like a brain break, like instead of listening to something, thinking about something, just kind of being present in that moment and giving that up to God is, I think, a very good thing.
Right. Because yeah, it's totally good. And I notice when I don't do it, like I'll go to a workout class or something, and that will have been the first time my brain has taken a break all day. And like things will come up to my head, like, oh, I need to text this person. Oh, I need to do this. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, this is because this is the first time all day that you haven't been, you know, distracted by something else, you know?
Totally.
And, yeah. I love the term brain break.
Yeah. We need to take more brain breaks. That's for sure. Cause I'm with you. I always want to like, oh, I'll call somebody or I'll listen to a podcast or something, but no, sometimes you just need some silence.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Well, Kendra, this was just as good as I knew it would be. What a gift to have you here on the podcast talking about gentleness. I feel very calm and ready to be gentle in my life. So thank you so much for joining me.
It was just instant. It worked so well.
It was immediate. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's contagious. Perfect. through the Zoom.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for having me, Jane. I'm so good to talk to you and to catch up again.
Always. So much for joining us for another episode of the Sunday Monday Show. If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, if you learned something, we would be so appreciative if you shared it with a friend. Shoot it in a text, post it on social media, whatever you want to do. Sharing these episodes helps more people find them. And while you're doing that, if you could rate and review these episodes, that would also be so appreciated. If you're looking for more, you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaymonday_ or visit us online at www.thesundaymonday.co, where we have tons of articles and free resources designed to help you be bold in your faith, work, and life. Until next time, thanks so much for being here. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye.